The Bible says the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. That's what the Bible says. And it will shine brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Amen. So I want to let you know that you have a bright future ahead of you. Amen. You have a wonderful future because the Lord is the one, right, who will give you the revelation of your righteousness in Jesus.
Yes.
Notice the Bible says the path of the righteous. That means you got to know the revelation today of how righteous you are.
Yes.
Because of the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
Now, circumstances in life do not always preach that to you. Circumstances in life will tell you, no, you're not righteous. Mm-hmm. Look at your stinking attitude just now. You could have been more patient just now when that person cuts you off when you're driving today, right? Or, you know, no, okay. Okay, somebody is receiving the confirmation of their righteousness in spite of they just lost their temper, right? So, beloved of God, I want to let you know, today, in a new covenant, right, I want to let you know that the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. It will shine brighter and brighter until the perfect day.
Amen.
Amen. I want to let you know, beloved of God, the love of God is so real, right? Adam made all of us unrighteous.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he took that forbidden fruit. God says, Adam, the day that you eat that tree, you shall surely die.
Yeah.
Right? And sure enough, from the moment that he ate from that tree of knowledge of good and evil, right, which is the picture of a law, right? Good and evil, that's the law, right? So the moment you eat from the tree of law, you sense some kind of death. Because, you know, when God created Adam and Eve, He never meant for men to live under law. That's why God says, don't eat from that tree of law. That tree of knowledge of good and evil is going to kill you.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what happens if today we keep on feeding the law? We're feeding from the tree of law. It will still have an impact.
Yeah.
You feel a certain degree of fear in your life whenever you are bombarded by the messages of law. Again, when I say messages of law, you know, people do not purposely today turn on a radio station that have a fiery preacher that says, you know, bad boy, bad boy. No, you don't listen to that. But when I'm talking about messages of law, I'm talking about circumstances in life. Circumstances in life, again, can be preaching louder than words, right?
Mm-hmm.
For example, if your car broke down, it's communicating something. It's preaching something, right? Oh, you did not do a proper maintenance on that car. Or you, it must be because of that sin that you did this morning, and now God is punishing you and causing that car to break down. It's subtle. It's not like an audible voice.
Yeah.
Right? That's why God says, I'm going to raise up teachers of righteousness in these last days.
Mm-hmm.
Amen? And one of them is Pastor Henry. Yay! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hey, man, there are many other teachers of righteousness, okay? I'm not the only one. So I'm not promoting. I'm just saying that God is raising up teachers of righteousness to let you know, hey, you know what? That car broke down, God's going to provide the money for you to fix it. Amen? God's going to bless you, amen? So that, you know, God's going to pay for all of that, all right? Or get you a brand new car, I don't know, all right? God is a good God, amen? So don't receive the condemnation, the messages of condemnation. Because the Bible says the path of the righteous. That means the path of those who don't receive condemnation is the one that will have, you know, a bright future in their lives, because the Bible says their light is like the first gleam of dawn that will shine brighter and brighter until the perfect day. You know, your life is supposed to get better and better.
Yeah.
The longer we live, we're not supposed to become older. We're supposed to be, okay, somebody is happy with the word, amen? You know, beloved of God, you know, we're supposed, right, there's supposed to be more strength. The Bible says, as your days, so shall your strength be.
Yes.
That's what the Bible says. Do you believe what the Bible says? Or do you believe what the talk show people are saying? Or do you believe what the news media are saying? Well, you know, once you reach a certain age, right? Once you reach a certain age, certain things are not going to be functioning the way that it used to. Well, if you believe that baloney, okay, you will, you are what you believe.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You are what you believe.
Amen.
If you don't believe what the Bible says, where as your days, so shall your strength be.
Yes.
In fact, in the Amplified Bible, it's even stronger than that. As your days, so shall your strength, rest, and security be. Man, the Bible is better than Social Security.
Amen.
Yes.
Because the Bible says, again, as your days, so shall your strength, rest, and security be.
Yes.
The longer you live, you're not supposed to become older.
Right.
The longer you live, you're supposed to be, according to the Bible, stronger. Man, I got a lot of people really, you know, giving good amens to the sermon today. You know, you're really blessed. Man, it does not matter, right, what the banker report says. You know, you got, you know, this is your balance, right? What does the Bible say?
Yes.
You know, one of the great things about the ministry of the late Dr. Billy Graham is that every time he preached, he always used this. The Bible says,
yeah.
The Bible says, for God so loved you. It does not matter whether you feel loved or not. The Bible says, God so loved you. John 3:16. I like that, you know, sermon that says, the Bible says, you know, the Bible says. Is the old-fashioned way, but it works. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, the Bible says. What does the Bible say? What is written in the Bible? How many times you notice Jesus, you know, always go back to the Word? Now, He is God. He is the author of the Word, but He goes back to the written Word. He does not go by the hearsay. He does not go by what is the latest fad today. What is the latest doctrine out there? He goes by the written Word.
Amen.
Have you not read in the Bible? Have you not read? Have you not read? And then when he was tempted by the devil, one of his favorite sword that he uses is the Rhema. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Man, this is the Son of God.
Amen.
This is the Son of God. How much more we should be word-minded. We should be so full of the Word of God that the Word of God governs your life. The Word of God is the mirror that defines you, not the natural mirror in the morning that says, well, you have wrinkles and all those things. Those are the natural mirrors. Mm-hmm. Now, this might be messing with your mind a bit, right? But I'm telling you, none of us have actually seen our own face.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's true.
Amen.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. You trust what the natural mirror are telling you what you look like. Nobody with their eyes have actually seen their own face. But you trust what the mirror is telling you. Now, beloved of God, if there is a natural mirror, there is a spiritual mirror.
Yes.
The Bible says, again, the Bible says, we behold His face as in a mirror. With unveiled face, beholding Him as in a mirror, we are transformed unto the same image from glory to glory. The Bible says, hallelujah. Come on, church. So, beloved of God, I don't care what kind of report that you're looking at, what kind of natural mirrors, just saying, oh man, pastor, I wish I believe, you know, that I'm still young. But the natural mirror is telling me that I'm old. I got wrinkles, I start to see some gray hair here and there. Well, what you going to believe? Are you going to believe the spiritual mirror that says that, you know, you can be transformed into the same image as you behold Jesus? By the way, Jesus is not old today.
Amen.
When He went up to heaven, He was around the age of 33. And the age stops right there. After 2,000 years, He's still a young Jesus.
Amen.
He's not old Santa Claus with a long beard, that kind of stuff. Don't have the image of God as this old man. Jesus is young.
Yes.
And the moment that you see Him young, and you behold Him as young, and you look at the Bible as the real you, right?
Yes.
The Bible says you will be transformed into the same image whenever you see Jesus.
Yeah.
Is Jesus sick today?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, when you look at that spiritual mirror, the Bible says you will be transformed.
Yes. Amen.
But you got to be word-minded. You got to be Bible-minded. What does the Bible say? Where is the scripture? Where is written in the Bible? Right? And ask the Holy Spirit for that fresh new revelation. And the more you understand the love of Jesus for you, right? And the more you meditate on what does the Bible say,
mm-hmm.
all right? Instead of what your feelings are telling you.
Yes.
Your feelings fluctuate.
Yes, they do. Yes.
Ladies, feeling fluctuates,
yes.
right? Guys also, you know, sometimes the feelings, but especially the ladies, I'm telling you, feelings fluctuate.
Yes.
If you feel something that is negative, that is contrary to the Word of God, you need to get back to the Word.
Amen.
The Word is the anchor for your soul. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? Right? So I just want to let you know, right? The Bible, what the Word says, is the anchor for your soul that will keep you stable. It will keep you stable. So God wants us to be word-minded. And the love of Jesus is that perfect bond that will keep you in that perfect peace. Amen. So it does not matter when you don't feel love. Well, Pastor, I wish I believed that Jesus loves me, but I don't feel loved by God. Go back to the Word. What does the Word say? The Word says in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus loves you.
Yes.
Have you ever seen like a bumper sticker that says Jesus and then with a heart, you like Jesus loves you? And I thought, well, that sounds, you know, nice to say Jesus loves you. But it's another thing when you study the Bible and you discover it yourself that it is in the Bible that Jesus loves you, even down to the English tenses. I mean, loves is a present tense. That makes a whole lot of difference. Right? Even when you study the Bible, the tenses, if I say, well, I used to love you at one point, you know, it's like, okay, what about now?
Yeah.
Right? But this one in Revelation chapter 1, study for yourself. I'm not going to give you the verse, so you got to look it up yourself, but I kind of point you in the right direction. Revelation chapter 1, the Bible says, He loves present tense. So that bumper sticker is right. Jesus loves. That means at this present moment, even when you have bad thoughts against a great preacher like Pastor Henry, God is still loving you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Even at this present moment, when you have wrong thoughts, whatever, God is still loving you.
Yeah.
Because there it says, He loves us and washed us in His own blood.
Yes.
Can you feel the expression of the Holy Spirit, the tender, loving ministry of the Holy Spirit that says, you know what? Jesus not only loves you, He even washed you in His own blood. Wow. So, Pastor, I don't feel love. What does the Word say? What does the Bible say?
Yeah.
And then when you look at it, your heart is warm. And then you feel like, oh wow, Jesus so loved me. And He washed me in His own blood.
Yes.
Right? And the word washed there, I believe, is in the aorist tense. Which means that it's something that happened in the past. See how accurate the Bible is? Right? He washed you when He shed His blood at the cross. Remember? It happened in the past. The Bible is such a supernatural word. Every word, every dot, every tittle, every iota. Man, every word of God, the Bible says, is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Like God breathed life to Adam, remember? He was a mannequin, right? The moment God breathed life unto Adam, he became a living soul, the Bible says. So if you want to have more life in your life, read the Bible. Amen. Read the Bible more. Amen. And make sure you read through the eyes of grace, through the lens of grace, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All scripture is God-breathed, the Bible says, and is profitable. Yes. Say profitable.
Profitable.
There is a profit. Every word, there's a profit in it. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable, right? Unto teaching, rebuking, right? Correcting and training in righteousness. It's all about bringing you back in the righteousness. Remember, the righteousness today for believers is something that comes by faith. It does not come by the law.
Amen.
So when the Bible says all scripture is God-breathed, is useful to rebuke you, it does not mean that God is mad at you. Every time you do something wrong, God uses scripture to beat you like a club. Because it says the scripture is used to rebuke and to correct. No, it's to rebuke you in righteousness.
Yeah.
To remind you every time you sin and then you feel so dirty, you feel like, man, how can God love me? I feel so dirty. The scripture is there to rebuke you. No, you are still righteous.
Yeah.
Even in the middle of your sin. Mm-hmm. The scripture is there to still remind you, to still correct your line of thinking. Every time I sin, God is mad with me. Well, the scripture is there to be profitable, to correct you, to let you know, no. Today, when you sin, right, God is not mad with you. Get back into that righteousness mindset.
Yeah.
Because all scripture is God-breathed and is profitable unto rebuking and correcting and teaching you in righteousness, which comes by faith and not by the law.
Yeah.
Amen? Are you happy or are you blessed, beloved of God?
Amen.
That's why I say, that's why I said, I opened the message today, right? The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn. How can the devil win? The only the devil has over you is condemnation every time you sin. That's the only weapon, right, that the devil has is the lie to tell you you deserve to be punished. You deserve to be condemned for that wrong thoughts or wrong deeds or wrong temper or that wrong desires, whatever it is, right? That's the only weapon of the devil is to lie. To tell you that you deserve to be punished for this. God is angry with you. God is mad with you. Well, if you are word-minded, no, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yeah.
By the blood of Jesus, I know I sin, but Jesus paid for my sin.
Yes.
I'm still righteous by the blood of Jesus. And all scripture is used to rebuke me, to correct me, and to train me in righteousness that comes by faith.
Come on, man. That's good preaching.
Amen.
And not by the law. I'm word-minded.
Yeah.
What does the Bible say? So, shoo, devil. Go bother somebody else. Talk to somebody else. Right? And God says, your path, your future is bright.
Amen.
Because I mean, the devil is not a problem, and your conscience is not going to be there also as a problem to condemn you, because your conscience is in agreement with this. Yes, Jesus paid.
Yes.
Stop paying the bank after you pay off your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? You don't have to keep on paying the bank. Once you pay off the mortgage, stop paying the money. Your conscience will be in agreement with you. Yeah. Don't write the check anymore to the bank. Right? Your conscience is saying, it's paid. It's paid. And the blood of Jesus already paid for all of your sins. And so today, right? Your path is only brighter and brighter. Amen. You can't lose for winning with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you blessed or are you happy, church? That's why. Let me close today's appetizer with the good news. Same word that I started the appetizer. The path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn.
Yes.
It will shine brighter and brighter until the perfect day.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Are you happy or are you blessed?
Amen.
Let's give a clap offering to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you pray in tongues a lot and it seems like all hell broke loose, You are on the right track. You are on the right track. Keep on pressing in. The enemy is retreating. And man, your breakthrough is just right around the corner.
Yes.
What if the children of Israel stop circling the city of Jericho? God says, you circle that city 7 times, Israel. Right? And then on the 7th day, you're supposed to shout. What if they say, man, it's only the 3rd day. The wall is still very, very big. The problem is still like this giant castle, right? Still towering before me. Man, it's the 4th day. Nothing's happening. Maybe those soldiers are making fun of the Israelites. They're really funny. They're carrying the Ark of the Covenant and just go round and round. I mean, the things of God seems to be silly to the eyes of the world. Hey, man, there's better things to do than circling the city, right? There are better things to do than praying in tongues, right? You don't even know what you're praying. you gotta be totally, totally be dependent on the Lord. And in the eyes of the world, it's silly. What is this? Sounds like babbling. You know, you're... What is this? You're praying, you know, you don't even know what you're praying, right? But they never stop. Man, they shouted, and what happened? The whole wall came tumbling down. That is supernatural.
Yes.
That is something that today the children and the grandchildren are going to keep on talking about again and again. So beloved of God, I want to let you know, right? God loves you very much. Mm-hmm. Your breakthrough is just right around the corner. If you quit now, yes. If you quit now, you'll be a loser. Mm-hmm. Right? Why would you quit now? Amen. When your breakthrough is just right around the corner?
Yes.
Right? You keep at it. You keep at it and you fix your eyes on Jesus. You don't look at your circumstances. Man, your breakthrough will be so big that your grandchildren will be talking about what grandpa had or what grandma had. You know what, my grandma, you know, he was struggling with this problem for a long time. I know he heard this preacher, Pastor Henry, keep on telling her to pray in tongues. Keep on praying in tongues. And I feel sorry for my grandma. You know, she's going circle round and round and round. Seems like she has lost her mind. She keeps on praying in tongues, but she keeps on hearing the gospel that she is the righteousness of God in Christ. And man, I see my grandma, man, all that problem that she had, God took care of her supernaturally. Man, your grandchildren are still going to be talking about that big breakthrough that you have.
Yes.
And something bigger than your own blessing is the fact that your grandchildren,
yes,
and your many children,
yes,
to come, they are blessed,
yes,
generation,
yes,
to generation, because,
yes,
their grandpa,
yes,
or their father, their mother has set a good example,
yes,
for them,
yes,
to trust in the Lord. Even if I have to die believing in God, I would rather die believing in God than you know, die like the skeptics who don't believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you conquer the devil. You believe in the blood of Jesus that makes you clean,
mm-hmm,
and by the word of the testimony, right? You conquer the accuser of the brethren not loving your life even until death.
Yes.
That means you're saying, this is all or nothing. I'm not playing religion. God, if your word is ever untrue, we're done. We might as well just pack and leave.
Yeah.
If the Bible is ever be untrue. So, beloved of God, your healing is purchased. Your financial provision has already been taken care of. That harmony in relationships with your loved ones, Jesus had already taken care of all of that. Right? But beyond all of that, God just wants to keep on loving on you. Loving on you. Loving on you. If that's okay with you. You don't have to love Him back. Just allow Him to love you and love you and keep on loving you. You know, you don't have to love the Lord your God. I know the law says you have to love the Lord your God, but in the new covenant, Jesus already loved you. The proof, He died for you at the cross already. And now if you just allow God to keep on loving you and keep on loving you and keep on receiving His love, that's all He asks, is someone to love on, right? He is love. The Bible says God is love.
Amen.
That means His greatest need is to love on you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you run away from Him, man, you are depriving God, mm-hmm, of loving you. So today, the message that God wants to share with you, number one, always go back to the Word. Always go back to what the Bible says. Again, not what your circumstances are telling you. And now, I'm about to reveal to you the main entree, why praying in tongues will help you, amen, to be reminded of the Word of God in your life. All of a sudden, the scripture that you heard, say even 10 years ago, begin to come alive. Because the Holy Spirit bring it to your mind. Something that you heard from Pastor Henry 3 years ago, all of a sudden it becomes like a light bulb. Who does that? It's the Holy Spirit. But you got to fan into flame. You got to pray in tongues more. You got to pray in tongues more. Right? Pray in tongues more. Oh, la, oh, rabalabashan. And occasionally, boom, like the fire, right, Pete? He said he saw like a coals. You know, when you fan into flame that coals, all of a sudden, the flame just, you know, happened. And then your miracles manifest. All of a sudden, that depression is gone. All of a sudden, you hear good news on the email. I'm going to share a testimony. My mom had been struggling with this problem whenever she had to go to the bathroom. She's got blood. It was blood after blood. We don't know what to do. We've done everything that we know how to take care of, and she still has blood every time she went to the bathroom. So we're really concerned, right? Especially the elderly, you don't want to lose a lot of blood. That's not good. Every time you need to go to the bathroom. Well, just this week, as a result of the Holy Spirit praying in tongues a lot, my sister sent the picture of my mom. I've never seen my mom so happy and so healthy. Amen. Her face is like, she's like gaining more weight. Amen. She was like losing weight to the point like she looks like a skeleton or something. But now I can see her cheekbones has already begun to flourish. And she smiles and she's happy. Amen. And there's no more report of my mom having blood when she went to the bathroom.
Amen. Amen.
And I can't take credit for it because I don't know what I was praying. I just said, Holy Spirit, I don't know how to pray for mom. Can you pray for mom, please? And then I just, Kura Bashanda, just keep on praying. Keep on praying in tongues nonstop. Yes. Even when all hell broke loose, right? Even when it seems like problem is still there. God's word is true.
Yes, it is.
You will hear the good report.
Yes.
You will hear the good things that you have no way how to solve it.
That's
I don't
right.
know how to solve that problem.
Amen.
You know, it's a supernatural thing. What God did. And you got to wield that sword.
Yes.
You got to pray in tongues more.
Yes.
Pray in tongues more.
Amen.
You'll be praying for your loved ones more than you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And at the same time, when you pray in tongues, I'm going to show you from the Bible. Again, what does the Bible say? I'm not interested on what this book says or whatever, right? I want to know for sure what does the Bible says, what happens whenever I pray in tongues. Last week, I already gave you the scientific evidence. Remember the researcher by the Oral Roberts University? Praying in tongues can boost your immune system up to 40%. It's nice whenever there's good science that backs up what the Bible is saying. That's good. But my confidence is in the written word. Do you know why? Because science is limited. Science is based on what we know at this time. And there is blind spots that we still don't know. That's why we keep on researching and researching and researching. We're still trying to discover many things, the dark corners of area that we don't know. The main thing that we want to depend on is the Word of God. So I'm going to show you here what the Bible says. This gift of the Holy Spirit that God has given you is something that you are to fan to flame more and more. So let's see what the Bible says, what happens whenever you pray in tongues. Are you ready? Let's show the next verse. This is from John 7, verse 38 to 39. This is Jesus saying, right? He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Say, living water.
Living water.
Now, do you know the difference between a living water and a dead water? A dead water is to breed mosquitoes. Okay? The dead water that does not flow is to breed mosquitoes. Now here is talking about living water. Now you have to understand the context of the Bible, right? Jesus was talking to his fellow Jews, Jewish people at that time, because the gospel was not yet been revealed to the rest of the world. The gospel is first for Israel, it's first for the Jew. And then after he rose again from the dead, he said, go into all nations now. Preach the good news to every living creature, not just the Jews, everybody. right? Who believes in me will not perish, but have everlasting life. So he was talking to his fellow Jew. Now, in a Jewish mindset, whenever you talk about cleansing, it's always related to healing.
Yes.
You look in the old covenant, how many times that in the ceremony, it always involves water. Like, for example, you get into a place where there is a corpse, there's a dead body, right? After you've been in that place, the Bible says you're supposed to take a shower. You're supposed to clean your whole body, right? And any clothes that touches dead bones, for example, in the Old Covenant, you're supposed to take off that clothes and make sure it's washed clean. Now, remember, those are, in the Old Covenant, is a types and shadow. We don't take that literally. So don't take everything in the Old Covenant and take it literally. Oh my goodness, every time I go to a funeral now, I got to take a really good shower afterwards. Okay, that's fine, that's fine. But look at the spiritual significance of what the Bible is saying. Is that every time you touch death, there has to be the word that cleanses you from that death. In other words, in the Jewish mind, whenever we talk about water, we talk about cleansing, it's talking about healing, and it's talking about the washing from anything that smells death in your life. The answer is the water that cleanses. Now here, I mean, when the Jewish people heard Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water, in a Jewish mindset, whoa! Rivers flowing out of your belly? That's like constant cleansing there. It's talking about constant healing there. It's talking about constant freedom from death there. It's talking about constant life. Whoa! Jesus! Man, so you have to appreciate the verse and understand the context of what the verse is saying. So when we talk about living water, it's not just like a nice figurative speech. Oh yeah, it's nice, you know, tranquil water, you know, so peaceful. No, allow the Bible to explain itself. The Bible talks about water being something that cleanses you. And let me prove to you, do you remember when a leper came to Jesus? What did he say to Jesus? Jesus, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And then what did Jesus say to the leper? I am willing, be clean. He did not say, be healed. He said, be clean. Because whenever the Bible talks about cleansing, it comes with it the healing effect of the cleansing. What happens when you just cut yourself, like you scrape yourself after you fall? One of the first thing you do, you want to disinfect, you want to clean that part of your body that got cut. Am I right? Because that cleansing is what causing the healing to come. So when Jesus talked about out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water here, beloved of God, there is a blessing of divine health.
Amen.
And healing whenever you allow the Holy Spirit, right, yes, to continue to cleanse you like rivers of living water.
Yes.
Man, I don't know about you, man. I'm going to pray in tongues more.
Yes.
I'm going to pray in tongues more. Not to get healing. There's a difference between I am praying in tongues in order to get my healing and to pray in tongues to simply allow what's already in my belly, what's already in me, in my born-again spirit, to flow. You know what I'm saying? So please don't misunderstand what Pastor Henry is saying. I'm not saying pray in tongues so that God may give you healing. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying when you pray in tongues out of your belly, that means you've already got it. It's already in you. It's out of your born-again spirit. It's out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the Bible explains when he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit. He was speaking of the Spirit. So let the Bible explain itself. Living water is talking about the Spirit who would be given to everyone believing in Him. Are you a believer in Jesus?
Amen.
Well, I believe, you know, the gift of tongues is only for the Pentecostals and the charismatic people, you know, only for them. No, it says for everyone believing in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus, this blessing is yours. The Holy Spirit is in you. You've got to allow the Holy Spirit to flow, right? Or fan into flame that gift of tongues. And then he says, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not yet entered into His glory. Notice, the Holy Spirit is given to us because Jesus now has entered into His glory. In other words, Jesus ascended to heaven and seated next to the Father. So the Holy Spirit is given to us not because we are worthy. The Holy Spirit is given unto us because the Bible says Jesus already entered into His glory. So beloved of God, it's not based on our holy living. The Bible says it's based on the fact that Jesus had entered into His glory today, that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. So beloved of God, don't stop praying in tongues just because you just had sin. That's the time to pray in tongues some more, because the Holy Spirit will bring you into remembrance. Hey, you are still righteous,
yes,
right? By the blood of Jesus.
Yes.
And the fact that you pray in tongues, that means, hey, oh Rabbi, the Holy Spirit is still in me. He has not forsaken me, even though I had just failed. Oh, He's still in there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're encouraged to know,
yes,
right, that He will never leave you nor forsake you.
No.
And I have a scripture to prove to you the reason why the Holy Spirit is given is because Jesus has been glorified today.
Yes.
Amen. Are you blessed, beloved of God? Man, the promise of divine health, like living waters, and the blessing to know that it's not based on your performance to keep on praying in tongues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't be condemned. Well, how can you call yourself a Christian? You pray in tongues, you just, you know, thought something wrong, and then you stop praying in tongues because you feel like, well, the Holy Spirit must not be pleased with me. No, the Holy Spirit was given because Jesus had been glorified. It was never based on your performance to begin with.
Yes.
It's based on the merit and the goodness of who Jesus Christ is today, glorified, seated at the right hand of God as your new identity,
yes,
as your new, yes, righteousness. Amen. You don't have any old righteousness that comes by the law. The righteousness that you have today comes by faith, the fact that Jesus had been glorified. Are you blessed?
Yes.
Are you seeing something like a fresh revelation from the verse? I know many of you have heard this verse before, but the Holy Spirit brought it to life today. Wow, rivers of living water. Man, that's constant healing. Amen.
Yes.
That's constant cleansing.
Yes.
Amen. No death in my family because it's constantly flowing, the rivers of God.
Yes.
Man, I'm going to fan into flame some more.
Yes.
I'm going to fan into flame some more. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Right? Just under your breath. Just under your breath. Amen. God is good all the time. And all the time. God is so very, very good.
Yes.
Are you blessed, beloved,
yes,
of God?
Yes.
Man, I like this, you know, the science back it up, that's cool. But what's really, really matters is the scripture backs it up for us. That you can have out of your belly the rivers of living water. Amen? God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed. Jesus, do you got some other goodies for us to enjoy? Yes. Let's look at the wonderful truth of what happens whenever you pray in tongues. Give them the next screen. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now remember, 1 Corinthians 14, Apostle Paul was talking about the gift of tongues and the gift of prophesying. So when Apostle Paul saying, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord, I can safely cross-reference that to Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12, from which Apostle Paul took that passage. So let's look at Isaiah 28, verse 11 to 12 here. For with stammering lips, and another tongue, will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Say, this is the rest.
This is the rest.
Wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. Say, this is the refreshing.
This is the refreshing.
Yet they would not hear. So what happens when you pray in tongues? There is the rest. And there is the refreshing, according to Scripture. Did you see what the Bible is saying? So again, let's get back to the Bible. What does the Bible actually say? Okay? It's nice we have scientific evidences, but let's get back to what the Bible is saying. There is the rest and the refreshing. Every time there is that stammering lips and another tongue. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is that rest and refreshing. It's the believer's R&R. It's the believer's R&R. Whenever you are in a situation, you don't know how to pray. The situation is so stressful. And you begin to fan the flame. Oh, Rabba Shandara. Oh, Lord, I don't know how to pray. There is that rest. There's that refreshing, knowing that the Holy Spirit, who knows the mind of God, is praying that perfect prayer to God from my born-again spirit, directly to God. It bypassed my mind. Because my mind can be in a way sometimes.
Yes.
My mind is the logical part of my mind. It's cancer. There's no cure for it. So the mind sometimes can be full of unbelief.
Yes.
But what happens if I just pray in tongues?
Yes.
Ignore the mind. Oh, Rabba Shindara. I don't know. I don't care what it is. It can be cancer. It can be tumors. It can be whatever. These so-called deadly diseases that has no cure. It can be AIDS. It can be heart diseases, irregular heart rhythms. I really don't know, and I don't really care. All the medical terminologies and what labels that people may call it, well, this is bipolar, or this is that disorder, and this is that disorder. I don't care. I just want to fix to it. I don't care what you call it. I don't care what you label it. But Holy Spirit, I know that my Jesus had carried all of my diseases.
Yes.
And all my pain.
Yes.
So pray in tongues on my behalf.
Yes.
Or maybe you know your loved ones that might be going through a difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, just pray in the Spirit.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, there is that rest. Because the Bible says so. There is the rest. And there is the refreshing.
Yes.
So beloved God, when you are in a stressful situation, why don't you fan into flame and allow the rest and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, beloved of God.
Yes.
God is good all the time. And all the time, God is so good.
Yes.
And there will come a time when your brain, the logical part of your brain, will be trained so much, because you see so many evidences, so many miracles upon miracles that happen in your life. Man, you can ask for interpretation of what you're praying when you are strong enough to be able to handle it. Lord, I don't know what I'm praying. Give me the interpretation of what I'm praying when you're ready. So my suggestion is not to ask for the interpretation until you see more and more evidences of miracles upon miracles upon miracles, until your mind is trained to see, oh, it works. Okay, I will not be in unbelief. Okay, that's fine. Give me the interpretation of what you're praying. It's okay, right? So I'm just suggesting you, until you see breakthrough upon breakthrough upon breakthrough, what you don't need to know, you don't need to know. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.
Amen.
All the time and all the time. God is so good.
Yes.
So let me give you two summaries so far of the benefits of praying in tongues. The first one, rivers of living water will flow out of your belly.
Yes.
Chew on that.
Mm-hmm.
Chew on that throughout this week.
Yes.
Out of your belly, there will be rivers of living water.
Yes.
Right? And Jesus also said that you can keep on praying in tongues, even when you fail, even when you sin. Because the Spirit is given unto you, not because of how good you are, but because Jesus had entered into His glory. No more condemnation, right?
Yeah.
The devil cannot cause me to stop praying in tongues, even when I had just sinned.
Yes.
Even when I had just failed, I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, you're still in me. The evidence, I can still speak in tongues, right? So don't allow the condemnation of the devil to quench your fire just because you had wrong thoughts, just because you had wrong words or wrong deeds. Don't allow the Holy Spirit to be quenched by the condemnation of the devil. But remember, the Holy Spirit is given because Jesus has entered into His glory. And what was the second benefit here that I'm showing you in the second slide? You have the rest. And you have the refreshing. It's the believer's R&R. Hallelujah. It's the believer's R&R. Hey, you know, if you can't sleep at night, like, you know, you toss back and forth and you find it hard to sleep at night, pray in tongues or read the Bible. Make the most use of your time. Pray in tongues or get a Bible, read the Bible. It's something amazing that will happen to you whenever you keep on fixing your eyes on Jesus. So when we say, what does the Word says? That's one way to fix your eyes on Jesus. Because Jesus is the Word. Right? Jesus is the Word. Amen? Now, beloved of God, I'm saving the best for last. This next slide, I'm going to show you what happens whenever you pray in tongues. The best part of praying in tongues. Are you ready? Give them the next slide. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So what is the best for last that you are saving for us, Pastor Henry, is the fact that whenever you pray in tongues, praying in the Holy Spirit, you also are keeping yourselves in the love of God. This is not talking about you loving God. It's not keeping yourself in the love for God. It's keeping yourselves in the love of God. For He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So every time you pray in tongues here, the Bible is saying you're keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In other words, every time you pray in tongues, there is a sense of God's unconditional love and grace for you. The Holy Spirit will bring you into remembrance. For God so loved you that He gave up His one and only Son. And because you believe in Jesus, you will not perish, but you have everlasting life. John chapter 3 verse 16, it is written. That's what the Bible says. God so loved you. So you pray in tongues. Oh, and the Holy Spirit reminds you, oh, your Father so loved you. My daddy loves me. My daddy loves me. In Jesus, whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whether I'm weak, whether I'm strong, my daddy loves me. My daddy loves me. In Jesus. Maybe the Holy Spirit will bring that song into your heart, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to let you know every time you pray in the Holy Spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God. I just want to let you know that God is loving you with all His heart and soul, mind and strength. None of you who can come to this place that come by accident. None of you. Nor does it come by your will. Oh, Pastor, I feel like I'm coming to Life-Giving Church International today. It's not by will, nor by those who run, but it's by the divine election of God that you are here today and you hear a gourmet, yo. This is a gourmet, one of the best entrees for your soul. This is why we come to church every Sunday.
Yes.
Is to be reminded of the love of God.
Yes.
Of how much your Heavenly Father cares about you. Of how much He loves you. And when you fan into flame, that the gift of tongues is amplified to the nth degree. It's no longer based on your feelings. You can feel love, that's fine, but it's none of that. Even when you don't feel the goosebumps, you can still feel by faith the warm embrace of your loving Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Encouraging you, consoling you, comforting you, and letting you know everything will be all right. Everything will be all right. Because I love you, God says. I care about you. Right? And whenever you pray in tongues more, oh man, on Wednesday, on Thursday, it feels like Sunday. Amen. It feels like Sunday. Man, in the midst of your busyness, you can be busy, busy, busy outside, but inside, you have the rest and the refreshing. Because this is the rest by which the weary can rest. And this is the refreshing by which you can be refreshed. Man, you will walk, you will run and not be weary. You will walk and not faint. Amen? Those that wait upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength.
Yes.
They will mount out with wings like eagles.
Hallelujah.
Because the Holy Spirit is there.
Yes.
To keep you in the love of God. Whether you experience or feel anything or not, you know that your daddy loves you. You know that God is a good God and He so care and so love you. So beloved of God, the love of God is what the Holy Spirit will remind you again and again of His unconditional and perfect love on the righteous foundation of the blood of Jesus Christ, who have taken all of your punishments at the cross. So when you think about the love of God, don't forget the cross.
Amen.
Right? What is the proof of God's love for you? Oh, after all the pain is gone in my body, then I know that God loves me. No? Well, what's the proof of God's love for you? Well, after I pay my bills, then I know God cares for me because He gave me the money. That means He loves me. No, beloved of God. The Bible says, again, we always have to go back to the Bible, right? But He demonstrated His love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We always have to go back to the Bible. The Bible says, He demonstrated His love for me at the cross when He died for me, not when I have paid my bills. Not when all the doctor's reports are all clear. And you become so stable and strong, beloved of God, before you know it, the supernatural provision of God to take care of that bill will be there. Because God is a faithful Father. He will take good care of you. And before you know it, all that doctor's report will become irrelevant. Those negative doctor's report. Because by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And God will see to it that all that condition in your body will be totally gone by the love of Jesus in your life as you allow the rivers of living water to flow more and more.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And you experience the rest and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, and you experience the loving embrace of God the Father letting you know everything's going to be all right because I care about you. Why don't you cast all of your cares on me? Because I care for you. That's, again, that's what the Bible says. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. In the book of 1 Peter. So, beloved of God, we are going back to the Bible. We're getting back to what the Bible is saying. And I'm just going to close with this, beloved of God. The more you pray in tongues, you are allowing the rivers of living water out of your belly to flow more and more. The more you pray in tongues, there'll be more rest. Because this is the rest and the refreshing. The more you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit, you keep yourself in the love of God. Even when you don't feel love, but the Holy Spirit is able to keep you in the love of God, that God cares about you, that God loves you, God cares about you, especially when you're down, especially when you sin, especially when you have just failed Him. Don't believe the lie of the devil that God leaves you the moment you sin. No, God is still there. God is still loving you. Every time you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will amplify the love of God, because He will keep you in the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, beloved of God, pray in tongues more and more. More and more. Not just throughout this week. For the rest of your life, pray in tongues more and more. Hallelujah. And experience the divine health of God flowing like rivers of living water once again. And the rest and the refreshing.
Yes.
Amen. That is better than a 30-day vacation somewhere. Amen. This is the R&R for believers, that you don't have to spend a dime. You can enjoy the rest and the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord will also keep you in His love. Jesus loves you and washed you in His own blood. God the Father so loved you, the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit will bring you into that remembrance more and more of that love of God for you. Amen.